Welcome. And we have the rabbi of Albert Einstein Medical College. He's acknowledged. Okay. So the Masechta begins, of course, with where it should, preparing for the big day, for the day of Yom Kippur. And the first thing that the Mishnah speaks about, and this is certainly chronological, Shivas Yamim Konim Yom Kippurim Mafrishin Kohen Gadol Mibeso Lelishkas Parhedrin Raynu Matkinu Lo Kohen Acher Tachtav Shema Ye'erabo Psul. And then Rabbi Yudah Omer Afi Shacheres Matkinin Lo Shema Tomus Ishto Shenemer B'chiper Bado Bad Beso Beso Zu Ishto Omer Lo Imkein Ein Ledav Arso. Okay. So, of course, we need to, I don't know if we'll have time, because there's only a few shiurim and there's a lot of issues. But there are a lot of issues already brought up by the Mishnah. This idea of a Kohen Gadol waiting in the wings, the possibility of a wife waiting in the wings, right? That's a little bit, you know, even more challenging to understand. Clearly, though, the focus, just impression that we first get, aside from the technical questions of what's the purpose of the prisha? Right. What's the purpose of the matkinu koin achar tachtov and the possible, you know, extra wife or the wife in the wings? Obviously, the immediate focus. I said hello to the Rabbi Weinstein, but the rabbi of the entire University of Pennsylvania is here. Wow. Okay. What's that?
Only till Sunday.
Well, it's amazing that you're even able to be here, you know, with such a sprawling tzibur, you know, for a shiur. But we're always happy to have you. And can we say the future rabbi of, yeah. We're formal, right? The future rabbi of our Sinai. Okay. So, So again, what's clear and what the impression that you get immediately from the first Mishnah is the importance of the role of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Again, it could be that it'll all flame out when you read the technical details of the Gemara, and if indeed they turn out to be all technical. I mean, it's clear that we require a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur to preside over the Avoda. There's some people here who I don't know. Maybe we should get like a little list together. Now, people I do know also, but right? What's your name?
Dan.
Dan? Okay, maybe we'll just put together a little list. I'm saying there are two ways really to learn the Mishnah of the beginning sugya here. One is, again, in a very narrow technical way, and that is you need a Kohen Gadol, it's clear, to preside over the Avodah on Yom Kippurim. And there can be all sorts of issues and mishaps that can take place that sideline the Kohen Gadol and therefore that jeopardize the Avoda on the day of Shabbos Shabboson, you know, the most important, you know, day of the entire year. And therefore, you know, right away there's a dinyan of prisha, you know, to make sure that he's not going to be a tamein sidelined, and there's an issue of matkinen lo Kohen Gadol acher if all that doesn't work, and there's isha acheres because, you know, it's beso and he has to be married. We'll talk about all those things, and nothing, you know, nothing so sensational about that. However, if in reading the sugyas we come to the conclusion that some of this appears to be a little bit overdone, okay, I don't mean that the way it sounds, chalila, meaning if it turns out to be more, you know, than seemingly is necessary, because some of these, you know, concerns, these sfeikos, are just a little bit wild, given the normal rules, let's say, of Safek, and some of the discussions reflect that. So, in addition to just the fact that the Kohen Gadol needs to preside over the Avoda, and that you don't want to jeopardize that, it could be that the first impression of Masechet Yoma and its Mishnayos is that, you know, you can't take any chances with this because the Kohen Gadol isn't just a necessary, you know, component on Yom Kippur, but, and this is going to be my beginning theme, but that Yom Kippur very much is defined by the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, you know, since it's not just a practical requirement and a technical requirement, so this excessive, if it is excessive, focus on ensuring, right, the presence of Kohen Gadol, the right Kohen Gadol, in addition, right, to establishing, right, you know, the foundation or the wherewithal for a proper, effective Yom Kippur, ends up having an additional keel. This is the theory. And that is that by safeguarding the role of the Kohen Gadol, that too is connected to what Yom Kippur is all about. Okay. So having said that, let's just make an important point, I think an important point, and that is something which I want to follow through with, but not right today, and that is that if this is the case, or if raising this question, we should note that the institution of Kohuna Gadola is surprisingly narrow. Okay, again, I have to explain what I mean. I mean, you would have thought, or you would think, that the status of being a Kohen Gadol is, you know, is a very pervasive or dominant, you know, idea, you know, across Yahadus, right? Like, there are three Ksarim, right? And, you know, there's the Keser Malchus and the Keser Kahuna and the Keser Torah. You know, the Melech is somebody who, you know, governs all the time. What does a Kohen Gadol do all the time? Right? How active is the Kohen Gadol? There's a din in Melech. Again, comparing Melech and Kohen Gadol is an interesting topic in both directions. Som tasim alecha melech, right? Is there an obligation or mitzvah to appoint, you know, a melech? Is there a mitzvah or an obligation to appoint a Kohen Gadol? Is there a pasuk in the Torah that tells us that you should appoint a Kohen Gadol? Is appointing a Kohen Gadol a mitzvah in the Minyan Taryag? What does the Kohen Gadol really do all year round? He does some things. First of all, he brings a korban every single day, called the korban minchas chavitin. If we want to understand better the persona, the spiritual persona of the Kohen Gadol, that's one of the things that certainly we would have to be looking at. It's a very unusual korban. We're not going to discuss that right now, but it'll come up again. That's a korban that he brings in the mikdash every day. And if there's no Kohen Gadol to bring it, does it get brought? That's an interesting question. But aside from that, and of course, you know, Yom Kippur, aside from Yom Kippur, basically, the Kohen Gadol's specific duties, aside from the Minchas Chavitin every day, and the presiding, the high-profile presiding over the Avodas Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol's daily specific involvement, right, is very limited. He's no tochelik barosh. We should probably talk about all these things. He has also a special korban, you know, like the melech, you know, when he's shogeg in certain circumstances. You know, he has certain special dinim, right? Min hamikdash layetze, his makrev onen, right? All these things need to be looked at if we really want to understand better who he is. There are certain women, right? Every kohen, you know, cannot marry just anyone, as we know. Grusha, Chalala, Zona, right? With regard to Kohen Gadol, in addition, you know, who Besua Biyama Vikach Isha, right? He can't even marry an Almana. So he has more restrictions in terms of who he can marry. He's more restricted in terms of Tumas Meis, because a regular Kohen, right, can be Mistame Lekrovav, a Kohen Gadol, you know, can only be mistame to a meis mitzvah. You know, it's begadav lo yifrom, you know, and it's rosho lo yifra. You know, he doesn't, you know, conduct himself in a state of avelus the way the other Koran do. So there are numerous differences between a Kohen Gadol. We'll look at the full list. Again, the Gemara on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, and later on Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, and in Horios, on Yud Beis Amud Beis, and Yud Aleph Amud Beis a little bit earlier. There are a number of sugyas that talk about the special dinim of a Kohen Gadol. All I'm saying is, if you, to me, it's very striking that the most salient aspect, aside from his standards, our standard issues, like we just talked about, Avelus, you know, and Tavas Meis, and, you know, Korban, but those things aside, in terms of his, not his standards, but his function, right? His function is Eva Daily Korban Chavitin, and that is something that's interesting, right? But that's not a major, not necessarily a major din in the Seder Hayom of the rest of the Korbanos. The major single most salient dimension of his kahuna is actually his presiding on Yom Kippur. Okay? Which is why I always like to say, and some of this we'll follow through a little bit with, that, you know, that the day of Yom Kippur is really the day of the Kohen Gadol. That's part of what I think is what Yom Kippur is all about. The Kohen Gadol was created for Yom Kippur in some respect, and Yom Kippur, you know, demands a Kohen Gadol, because they're both, those are two related but slightly opposite things. And as I said, there's no, not necessarily, we'll look at the psukim, a mitzvah saseh to appoint a Kohen Gadol. And surely that's significant. So when we then encounter the first Mishnah in Yoma, which seems to present us with very exaggerated measures, right, to, you know, to ensure that the Kohen Gadol will be, you know, ready, you know, and operative, you know, at the moment of the Avoda, this is where kind of where I'm coming from. So the possibility that, you know, he's, you know, a critical requirement, and therefore we just can't, you know, take any chances on this day, is certainly likely to explain much of it. But in tone, and maybe even in terms of some of the pratim of this, it's very possible that, consistent with you know, the excessive caution and conservatism in terms of making sure that this will happen, is also this other dimension, and that is that preparing the Kohen Gadol for Yom Kippur, right, is also about the convergence of Yom Kippur and the Kohen Gadol as a kiyum in its own right. At least that's something that we want to, again, since we don't have so much time for these things, just these are themes, I believe, that are subtle but very critical to look at. Okay, having said that, so let's point to another phenomenon as well, and that is that in the psukim, if we put a spotlight of the psukim in the parsha and Achrimos of the Avoda, there's something else that emerges very dramatically, and that is the specific personality of Aaron HaKohen. Torah says here, "Vayedaber Hashem b'Moshe achrei mos shnei b'nei Aaron, b'kar v'asam l'fnei Hashem v'yamusu." That part is probably not specifically Aaron related, meaning the tragic death of Nadav and Avihu, right, is a background for, you know, b'chalei sloyavo l'kodesh, and they were the sons of Aaron. I don't necessarily think that that's an Aaron HaKohen factor, you know, in the Avoda. Okay, but from then on, the emphasis on Aaron, the person, is something that's not easy to miss. The Torah, one would have thought, should have emphasized the institution of Kohuna Gedola more so than the personality of Aaron. But what you get is Vayomer Hashem Moshe Daber El Aaron Achicha. Okay, first time it's not so striking. Al Yavo B'Chaleis El Hakodesh Mi Beis La Paroches El Pnei Hakapores Hashal Aron V'Lo Yamuski Be'Anan Eira El Hakapores Bezos Yavo Aaron El Hakodesh. Okay, already the second time, Or you could have just said Bezos Yavol HaKodesh, right? Again, this is something that applies to all Kohanim Gedolim, as we'll see in the end of the Parsha, right? The Torah is going to say in the end, you know, that whatever we're saying in this Parsha applies to V'chiper, this is on Pasuk Lamed Beis, right? V'chiper HaKohen Asher Yimshach Osov Asher Yimalei Es Yado L'chahen Tachas Aviv V'lavash Es Big Dei Abad Big Dei HaKodesh V'chiper Es Mikdash HaKodesh Es Ol Moed Es HaMizbeach Yichaper Ala Kohanim V'akol Am V'akol Yichaper V'yisa Zos Lachem L'chukas Ol M'chaper Al B'nei Yisrael V'kol Chatosam Achas Bashanav V'yaz Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. So the Pesukim in the end establish that whatever we're about to say in this Parsha is true L'doros for the Kohen Gadol who will preside. You know, it's the heir, you know, to Aaron HaKohen. In light of that, again, this constant drumbeat about Aaron HaKohen is just surprising. So it's Daber al Aaron Achicha. We already know that he's his brother, right? Bezos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh, Bepar ben Bakar l'chatas, V'ayel le'olah, V'skas os karbonos, K'sonis bas Kodesh Yobash, Michasei Vad Yoh Besaro, Avnei Bad Yachgar, B'misnefes Bad Yitznof, right? Big Day Kodesh Haim. These are the Big Day Laban. We'll talk about that also. Right? V'ikriv, then you have Pasuk Vav, V'ikriv Aaronis Parachatas Asherlo, V'chiper Bado Bad Beiso. Then you have again in Pasuk Ches, V'nasan Aaron al Shnei Asirim Goralos, Goral Echad L'Hashem, Goral Echad L'Azazel, Pasuk Tes, V'hikriv Aaron es HaSair. Again, it's hard to forget who we're talking about here, right? You don't need to keep repeating his name. You could just say V'hikriv, or B'kriv HaKohen HaGadol, which would be more accurate. And it continues, Pasuk Gedalev, V'hikriv Aaron es Parachatos HaSharlo, V'chiper Bado Bad Beiso, and so on. Then you have a bit of a break, actually, in terms of the... it's fascinating that the Ketores parts almost do not mention Aaron's name. We'll get back to that, maybe. I'm not really sure why that is the case, although I have some theories about it. Again, Ketores in general plays an outsized role in Avodas Yom HaKippurim. The first thing that we read about the Avoda is... of course, we know that the Misa B'nei Aaron, Achrei Moses Shnei B'nei Aaron, is connected to the Hakrava of Ketores Zara. But it's, in light of that, it's even more interesting in a way that when the Torah speaks about the Avoda of the Ketores, actually there, it doesn't emphasize Aaron, you know, in particular. Just v'lokach. It doesn't say v'lokach Aaron v'lo amachto gachleish. It's just v'lokach. And in these psukim, for about 8-9 psukim, we don't hear about Aaron at all. Just, again, just something to be aware of. Ketores samdaka, nasan asa ketores, not nasan Aaron. V'lokach midam apar. Same is true with the hazos. The hazos and the ketores. The hazos on the paroches, lifnei paroches, lifnei kapores, rather paroches on the mizbeach. All of these are verbs, anonymous verbs. They're not associated particularly with Aaron HaKohen. Very interesting. What we call the dinim of tumas kodesh mikdash v'kadashav mostly are generic here. I think it has to do with their role. V'lokach midam parviza betzba'o. The shachat es irachatas v'heviyas damo, the chiper ala kodesh. These are all verbs without Aaron. The chol adam lo yeblo moed, the chiper ba'ado bivo'o, the chiper ba'ado, the yatsa ala mizbeach, the chiper ala v'lakach midam apar midam asayir v'nasan karnis mizbeach saviv. Those all three hazos. V'hizalav min adam be'etzbo shav apamim tiaro v'kidsho b'tumos b'nei Yisrael. The kila mikaper is hakodesh. All of these verbs, just like all the verbs that came before it, right, could have been connected with Aaron, or the ones before it could. V'hikriv Aaron, right? V'hikriv Aaron. These are all three different v'hikriv. I'm just going back to the things I already mentioned. Why do certain verbs and certain psukim and certain parts of the avoda insist on repeating Aaron? So again, sometimes you can have pasuk after pasuk after pasuk mention of Aaron, and then you can have 10 psukim in a row, namely the Ketores and the Hazos Hadam, which don't mention him at all. Right? Then Aaron is back. The Samach Aaron, when it comes to the Viduyim, the Samach Aaron Ashtei Adav, Arosh HaSair, Hachai V'Yisvada Alav, Eskol Avonos B'nei Yisrael, Eskol Pishayim L'chol Kachachat Osam, V'nasnu Osam Arosh HaSair, right, the Asir HaMishtaleach, the Vidui, the Shiluach HaSair HaMishtaleach, that's all part of Aaron. V'nasa HaSair Alav, Eskol Avonosam, Uba Aaron, again, Pasuk Chav Gimel, now he's back again, every two psukim at least, El Oam Moed, Upashat Es Bigdei Abada, Shalavash, Avi Nicham Sham, V'rochat Es Psar B'mayim, right, etc. Then you have again a few psukim where you're just talking about shiluach and the, again the dam, the avodas hadam usually doesn't have Aaron, and then you have finally the summaries. Vayisalachem v'chukasol and b'chodesh hashvi v'asol l'chodesh tanu es nachshel sechem kol malachol osasu ezra chagera gar b'sochem ki b'yom ezay chaper lechem b'tarasem mikol chatosechem b'fnei Hashem t'taru. The Chiper HaKoen Asher Yimshach, the Pasuk I mentioned before, Pasuk Lamed Beis, the Chiper, and so on. Okay, so basically the point I'm trying to make is that from the beginning of Avodas Yom Kippurim especially, you have an intensive burst of seemingly unnecessary specific references to Aaron HaKoen. Then you get a respite from that. You know, in a more generic, the lokach, the chiper, you know, the nasan, etc. And then again, you have, when it comes to the vidui and the siram shtaleach, you have it again. And then finally, in the end, you have the universalization of this process to the kohen asher yimshach tachtav biban. But, having said that, and this is something that, you know, was noted by some of the mefarshim, certainly the frequent, superfluous emphasis on Aaron HaKohen is something which Eina Omer Ella Darshay. Oh. So this brings us to an important question, the first question that I want to discuss. I don't know if we'll get past this for today, and that is there any special yichus to Aaron HaKohen's presiding over Avodas Yom Kippur? And if so, why would that be? It could be because he was the first. He's the one who initiated, you know, Avodas Yom Kippurim, and therefore he put his stamp on it. It's possible that itself would be a significant point. In other words, instead of saying that, you know, this is a din in any Kohen Gadol, we'll say, well, the Kohen Gadol who initiated this particular Avoda, you know, given its obviously supreme significance, you know, is you know, the, has, that that's a special yichus, that has a special significance. But the question I'm really trying to raise is whether maybe it isn't more than that. Is it possible that you know, the central role that the Kohen Gadol plays on Yom Kippur in the Avoda, right, is really connected with the first Kohen Gadol, with Aaron HaKohen? It's something that the Rav thought was potentially the case. He wanted to suggest that maybe that's a shot in the Ravid, which I'll get to in a couple of minutes. And he thought that the language of the Balapiut in Ato Kananta, who keeps talking about Tachas Aaron HaKohen when he talks about future Kohen Gadols, may reflect that as well, meaning that the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur functions, you know, betoras Aaron HaKohen, because that would be a very significant issue. This may, of course, be reflected in a very fascinating debate about the actual potential special status of Aaron HaKohen when it comes to this question. So, for example, Rashi, in his Perish Al HaTorah, here in Pasuk Gimel, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKodesh. So Rashi says, V'afzu lo b'chol eis, ki'im b'yom ha-kipurim, k'moshim furash b'sof ha-parsha, b'chodesh ha-shi b'asor l'achodesh. Rashi says clearly that this idea of, you know, Bezos Yava Aron Alakodesh, that it's limited to Yom Kippur, there's no other day, you know, that the Kohen Gadol can be Nichnas Lifnai V'Lifnim, that applies also to Aron HaKohen, or equally to Aron HaKohen. That's pretty explicit in Rashi. The Ramban, I don't have the Ramban here. I couldn't find my Chumash that had the Ramban in it. The Ramban, in his, if somebody has the... do you have that? Oh, great. Okay, terrific. Thank you. The... I'm going to let you read it. The Ramban here in Pasuk Beis... Ramban in Pasuk Beis considers, you know, says, after all, maybe the part of the diuk is, you know, achicha. Vayomer Moshe daber el Aaron achicha, right, your brother. So what does achicha have to do with anything? The Ramban says, shetaz hirenu ki achicha hu, the afapi shata eincha bibal yavo, Aaron achicha bibal yavo. Meaning to tell Aaron, you know, that unlike you, right, he is restricted to knisa lifnai v'lifnim, right, only on Yom Kippur. Okay. Then later on, he mentions this again. Let's see if I can find it. B'chol eis, b'avur shekvar hiskir Yom HaKippurim. This is a little later on in the Ramban. The first one is Dibra Maskel Achicha, but it's on the same page, literally on the same page, and figuratively on the same page. Becholeis, Bavur Shekvar Hiski Yom HaKippurim, Amar V'chiper Aaron Al Karnos of Achatz Pashana, Amar B'kan Lo Yavo B'shum Eis El HaKodesh Rak Bezos, Klomer B'yom Asher Yakriv HaKarbonos Ha'ela L'Kippurim. V'achar Kein Yifarish B'parsha B'mei Kaneis Kamosha Amar Behavi Bibesla Paroches, Bifarish Hayom, Shiabasala Kodeshashvi, Vyachsa Vyomar Kiya Achas Bashan. So basically the Ramban actually says some really interesting things here, which we're not going to elaborate on now. But you know, the protocol, the fact that it's Yom Kippur, the fact that it's Achas Bashana, these are indications, I would say more than indications. Maybe these are part of the mechayvim of why it is that only on this particular day can even Aaron be nichnas, right, lifnai v'lifnim, even though you, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, right, could potentially, you know, be nichnas, lifnim, you know, other times as well. Okay, so it's unequivocal both in Rashi and the Ramban that this restriction is applicable, right, to Aaron and Kohen, right, as well. But already you see in the Ramban, you know, that there's kind of a hava mina, you know, that maybe Aaron, you know, the brother of Moshe, would be different. Okay. The view that this agrees is a very well-known medrash, but which is treated by some of the achronim, you know, as a very serious makar. And that medrash is quoted here in Vayikra Rabba, which I don't have. Do you have Vayikra Rabba?
I have a computer.
What? Yeah, I gave you the Marmokam, right? I think, if not, I have it. Yeah, go ahead. So the Medrash seems to say that Aaron HaKohen was able to be nichnas lifnai v'lifnim as long as he carried out the seder of Avodas Yom HaKippur. Correct? And that, of course, is an enormous chiddush. So the question is what to make of that. What else does he say in the Medrash? There's also a couple more lines which everybody notes is very problematic. Osa b'seder hazeh, I think that's the last thing he wrote. Keep going.
Rav Yehuda v'Rabbi Elazar amar b'shloshim b'shisha zugin.
Ah.
B'shloshim b'shisha rimonim, Rabbanon amar b'shivim b'shnayim zugin, b'shivim b'shnayim rimonim.
Yeah, what's that?
I don't know. Imagine the...
That's an honest answer. The what?
The Begadim, maybe?
Yeah, so what? This is a big, big problem that some of the Achronim point out. Some of the Mefarshim on the Medrash Rabbah speak about it, and other later Achronim, who just, you know, everyone was enamored with this idea that Aaron HaKohen could be Nichnas L'Fnai B'Lifnim, like, why would that be, and what does it mean? Right, so the, you know, they were just very intrigued by this continuation of the Medrash, because it sounds like that Aaron HaKohen, when he would be nichnas lifnai v'lifnim, whenever he wanted, would do that with the pamonim. The pamonim are part of the me'il, right? Shua's not here, but like Shua's are a me'il person. I don't know if that's well known or not. But anyways, but the pamonim were part of the me'il. Moshe, you knew that about Shua?
It was.
So they say you knew it already. So just Chazara. So why is that a problem? What? That's not the big day Lavan, right? That's big day Zahav. So this is a huge issue and question. And in general, you should just be aware that there are some makoros out there that seem to imply that the Knisa Lefnai B'Lefnim was the Big Day Zav. Of course, that's totally against the mainstream normative understanding of the Avoda, as understood by, you know, the simple Pshat, the Psukim, the, you know, the Gemara, the Mefarshim, but there are some, like, Makoros. So this Medrash Rab is one of them, although it may not be that. Another one, of course, is the Ibn Ezra, I think it's Pasuk Dalet. Do you have that? I didn't give it to you, but... Oh, I have it. You're right. Okay. The Ibn Ezra here on Pasuk Dalet. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is. I'm just telling you. Ksonas bad kodesh, v'li hiskar ha'efod v'achoshen u'me'il v'ha'efod. Ki kvar hiskir v'nishma kolo b'vo'al ha'kodesh. What? So this Ibn Ezra in Pasuk Dalet, Ksonas bad kodesh yilbash, u'michnase bad yel b'saro, is a pasuk. U'ba'avne bad yachkor, u'b'mitzesas snefes bad yitznov, b'gdei kodesh em rachatz ma'imas b'saro, u'levei sham. That's a pasuk. And of course, you know, what it means is, Rashi says, Magid Shena Mishamish Lifnim, Bishmona Begadim, Shamish Ben Bachutz, Shesh Ben Zav, Shein Kategar Nasa Senegar. Ella Ba'arba'a, right, Kekoin Hedjot, Vekulan Shabbots. That's Rashi, that's a simple Pshat. Ibn Ezra that I just read on Ksonas Bad Kodesh says, Velo Hizkir Ha'efod, Achoshen, Umihil Ha'efod, Ki Kvar Hizkir, Vinishma Kola, Bebol HaKodesh. In Shmos, in the end of Tetzaveh, the Torah says, "V'nishma kolo b'vo'al haKodesh." Right, when the Kohen Gadol used to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, so "V'nishma kolo." Question is, what does that mean? And everybody else would be, you know, at least one shlab removed from it. So "V'nishma kolo" means what? This would be a precondition for his tefillah, or you know, the avoda would be nishma, or does it mean that the begadim that he wore were would announce, you know, his presence, and that in turn would contribute, that would facilitate people not being where they shouldn't be. So the Ibn Ezra is saying that that pasuk implies that there was the wearing of the me'il or some of the real begadim. What exactly happened here according to the Ibn Ezra is unclear. But it's not just the Ibn Ezra. This is also the very controversial view of the Rajban. Do I have it here somewhere? Yeah. The Rashbam in Tetzaveh says that the Vinishma Kolo means the Pamonim, Sheblitas Arimonim Beneim, Ulefisha Tziva Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is the Rashbam writing, V'chol Adam Lo Yia Ba'ohel Moed, B'va'ol Chaper Bakodesh Ad Seiso. Right? V'kach Tziva Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'nishma Kolo B'va'o. V'yisrachaku Hashomim Misham. Whoever put out this particular edition of the Rashbam, because again, this is a very famous problem. Mishtameh mitokti v'Rashbam, shehu sover shakoyin gadol hayalove shasameil, shalav harimonim kishunichos lekodesh hakadoshim. Right? Ha'imdahi l'chatita mekubelet, isha koyin hagadol lo lavash beged zeh, ala begadim acherim, ha'metuarim v'vayikra. Okay. So you get the idea. The Sifra, this is correct, I was going to mention this anyway, the Sifra in the beginning of Parshas Achrei Mos mentions, has a Hava Mina. You might think, based on this Pasuk that we just read, that V'kol Adam Lo Yia Ba'ol Moed L'Chaper Bakodesh Ad Seiso, that refers to V'nishma Kolo Bivalo. You might think that he's wearing the Me'il, you know, when he's Nichnas Lefnai B'Lefnim, says the Sifra, that it's not true, though, right? Because the psukim in Achrei Mos seem to say that that's not what happened. Okay. And then he also mentions this Ibn Ezra, and there's a whole literature on this. It's a very difficult problem. Rashi in Yuma on Mem Daled Amud Beis, and I think again on Nun Ches, or Nun Gimel, sorry, seems to say that somehow when the Kohen Gadol was Nichnas Lefnai B'Lefnim, again, that there also seems to say there was some sort of Pamonim, that there was something, that announced through some physical noise, right, that, warned people away from the place. He doesn't say that he was wearing the Me'il, but the Rach in that Gemara says that Kol Shana, the Kohen Gadol, would wear something, where you could always detect or discern, audially his presence, but not on Yom Kippur. Rach makes a point that we're not talking about Yom Kippur in that particular sunya. Okay, so the presence, so the line in the Medrash Rabbah, that Aaron HaKohen could be Nichnas, all I'm trying to say is are two points to take note of in the Medrash Rabbah. One, the biggest point, of course, is against the Rashi, against the Ramban, namely that Aaron HaKohen was Nichnas, had the ability to be Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim, even during the rest of the year, as long as he applied the protocol of Avodas Yom Kippurim. That's the most important Chiddush of Vayikra Rabbah, implying that Aaron HaKohen presumably had some special Yichus. We'll talk more about that in a minute. And the second point is a implication that there were pamonim, in that framework and context. And as far as that second chiddush is concerned, I'm just pointing out that there's an Ibn Ezra in Achrei Mos, and there's a Rashbam in Tetzaveh, and then there's a rejection of this idea in the Sifra, and there's some maybe reference to it's hard to know, it's less clear, Rashi in Yoma, versus Rabbeinu Chananel, actually a couple places in Yoma, actually, where somehow it seems like, Big Day Zahav, or at least Pamonim, had something to do with the Mikdash. Maybe it was just Pamonim separate from the Me'il, hard to say. But certainly the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam are talking about the Me'il. Right? Less clear with Rashi and less clear about the Medrash, but there's something going on there. Okay. What is this thing about Aaron's unique capability to be Nichnas even Shelo B'Yom Kippur? Why is that so? So the Gra, famously, it appears in Kol Eliyahu, and it also is quoted even a little more extensively by his Mechutin, right? The Chayodam Chachmas Adam, in the end of Hilchos Avelos, a very, very famous passage. The Gra suggests that this is a. Do I have it here? Yeah. that this, you know, phenomenon in the Medrash is connected to all sorts of subtle, difficulties, and that, you know, it's just an amazing piece of the Gra. The thrust of it is that the Gra points out that, you know, the Gemara already says that the Parsha of the Avodas Yom Kippurim is out of order. If you read the Pshuto Shel Mikra in the Parsha, you'd get the impression that there are, instead of 5 tevilos and 10 kiddushim, there are 3 tevilos and 6 kiddushim. Okay? Not just if you read the Psukim. And one of the Psukim, especially when it comes to Ketores, the Gemara already says, is completely out of order. Right? So the question is, you know, why should that be so? What's the point of Torah Shebichsav, you know, being out of sync with Torah Shebaal Peh? Right? Why would it be written in a misleading, even in a vague fashion, never mind in a misleading fashion? Okay? Says the Gra, because the Torah Shebichsav is ever so subtly hinting that there are 2 dinim in the protocol of Avodas Yom Kippur. And that is that on Yom Kippur, which was the only available Knisa Lefnai V'Lefnim for any other Kohen Gadol and for Klal Yisrael at any other time, it's 5 Tvilos and 10 Kiddushin. But when it came to Aaron HaKohen, who had the, based on this Medrash, who had the ability to be Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim B'Kol Eish Sheyirtze, as long as he went according to the Seder, what the Medrash means, says the Gra, by the Seder is the Seder that is explicit in Torah Shebichsav. So the Torah is written in a way that, you know, conveys 2 truths, right? The truth, let's say, in the moment for Aaron HaKohen, which is the 3 and the 6. And then there are hints that it's also supposed to be read as if the psukim about the Ketores are out of order, so that it's really 5 and 10, because that's the protocol which really... It's fascinating, given that, the Gra doesn't talk about this, you know, that the Torah Shebichsav, you know, reflects the Aaron HaKohen exception and not the Lidore Doros protocol. Okay, the Gra doesn't talk about that, but that, I think, is noteworthy. I'll try to get back to it. Namely, what is the... frankly, what is the... you know, the core, and what is the exception here? Are these 2 dinim or are they 1 din? Obviously, technically they're 2 dinim. So the Gra says this. Let me just read a couple of lines very quickly. And he solves several things. Number one, Hinei lefi ma she'omer b'gemar yoma, right, the Gemara has a debate whether ayel ha'omer kan hu ha'omer b'chumash p'kudim. The ayel that's mentioned in the Parsha in Achrei Mos, right, is that the same ayel that's mentioned in the Musaf, you know, in Bamidbar, right, in Pinchas, when we talk about the Musaf of Yom Kippur? So says the Gra, that's a debate in the Gemara. Says the Gra, Yipalei Ma'od L'Haiman D'Amar Lama Nichtav Kan Ayel Zelavat Michumish Pekudim V'Lo Shara Karbanos Samurim Sham K'kon Zayin Kavasim V'Shari Devarim. Right, if you're going to mix and match the, you know, the musaf of Yom Kippur with the avoda, the amount of shach, either they're distinctive and they're 2 different dinim, right? I mean, the musafin was not done the big day lavan, frankly, and musafim are part of every Yom Tov. So it's very understandable why you have a parsha in Achrei Mos and a parsha in Pinchas. But if you think for some reason that when it comes to Avodas Yom Kippurim that it's more integrated, or that you need to make reference to it, probably because it's more integrated, then the whole Parsha should have been integrated. Why specifically, right, the Eil Ha'am? Oh. Amnam Yesh Lefarish, this is just a brilliant Gra, right? I say that's redundant. Yesh Lefarish Pshate HaMikros Kan Alpimad Yisa B'Medrash Rabbah. That's when he quotes the Medrash that we've been talking about. That Aaron HaKohen could be Nechnas, Lefnai, Lefnim, whatever. Amar Kodesh Baruch HaLemoshe, Elok Shem Shata Sabur. B'kol Shau, Rotsa, Likonis, Yikonis, Rak, Shiyasa, Kaseder HaZeh. Im kein nishma mizeh shadavka shar kohen gadol asur likadosh likadosh hakadosh el biyom kippur. Well, our name until the kadosh bekol shav shah. Rakshi kadosh kaseder avoda. Hashtel if he's there, but tok meod pshat haparsha. She bechol haparsha lo nizka rak aron. Oh, we began with that. This is the diuk that the Gra also makes. Why does the Torah, right, unduly emphasize Aaron so much? Right, it could have just said who, or like I was trying to show that it's even more complicated than that. Right, but make it about the Kohen Gadol. Aaron is just an example of that. Right? Bezos Yavo Aaron, Behikriv Aaron, Venosan Aaron, Vaot come upon him, Ad Shenemar, in the end, Vahoisalachem Vachukasol and Basalachodesh. Vichipera Kohen, Hashem Shachos Hashem Aleis Adav Lechahim. Meaning, once you have the end of the Parsha and you see it's universal, what the emphasis on Aaron? Bezesh Akasa, Besof of Parsha, Vahoisalachem Vachukasol, Vachukasol, Vachapra, Bnei Yisrael, Vichokhat, Samachat, Lashana, Ratzom Elachem, Daika, Achas Pashana. Avalola Aaron, Sheimuta Likanes, Besedra Zek, Kolasha. El Rak, Ledoros, right? Ayapam Achas Pashana, Lechaper, Biome Kippurim, but not for Aaron. Lefize Shapra, Miyushav, Hantlo Nichtav, Rak, Ha'ayel, Shelo Hutzerhu Hamusafim La Aaron, Beshar Yemos Hashana. Akala Parsha Nemer Le Aaron, again, it doesn't explain why the aisle is different, but the point is, what the Gemara really means is that the aisle has a double status. The aisle is part of the Musafim. The Musafim do not apply, this is the Chiddush of the Gemara. Again, remember, the Medrash only says what it says. It says that Aaron could be Nichnas Lefnai V'Lefnim Kol Shana, and everybody else only on Yom Kippur. Beyond that, it doesn't tell us that there are under any other shinuyim at all. Right? Now the Gra is saying, number one, we now appreciate Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. Number two, the ayil has a double function, right? The musaf part of the ayil is reserved for the Kedushas Hayom of Yom Kippur. Even when Aaron is Nichlas Lefnai B'Lefnim, it's not Yom Kippur. Right? So apparently there's no musafim either. Again, that isn't so obvious either, frankly. You could just say, well, maybe when Aaron is Nichlas Lefnai V'Lefnim, is that a day for Klal Yisrael? And if so, is it another Yom Kippur during the year? It's very reasonable what the Gra says, but it's not Muchrach. Are there, it's not the anniversary of the, this is my para, of the, coming down with the second Luchos. That's for sure. Does it have some sort of a shame Yom Kippur at all when Aaron does this? On the other side of it, right, some of the acronym, I can't remember where I saw this even, a lot of the protocol, forget about the Musafim, part of the protocol of Avodas Yom Kippurim are Korbanos Tzibur. I mean, the Seir Hanasa Bifnim and the Seir Mishtaleach, right? And the Ayil, who Amur Parshas Pekudim, are Korbanos Tzibur. They're part of the protocol, according to this view, of Aaron's ticket into Kodesh HaKadoshim during the year. Like, how's that possible? I mean, is this just a private session between Aaron HaKohen and the Ribono Shel Olam? Then it would be the pyre and the aisle of Aaron, but you wouldn't have the rest of it. So there are those who speculate, what we really mean is that Aaron HaKohen, or let me say it in a different way, to the extent that the Avodas Yom HaKippur, not just the question of being Korban Tzibur, right, there's also a question of Kapara. This is at least a question. That what we call Korbanos Tzibur and Yom Kippur are included in the protocol, even for Kol Shana. That seems clear. That part is clear. A question, a more speculative question is, right, are they playing the same kind of a Kapara role? So one possibility is you can say, well, Aaron HaKohen isn't Nichlas Lefnai V'Lefnim for his own, spiritual you know, self-aggrandizement, or maybe that's too harsh, for his own spiritual, you know, experience, right? Maybe does he only do that? Like, what would motivate Aaron to do that? Klal Yisrael is needing an additional Yom Kippur, an additional Kapara? So maybe, if that were to be true, right, then the Korban Sibur and the Kapara part and all that would be fine. You're still missing the anniversary of the Luchos. This is the question that I'm asking before, that I was raising, which is it so clear, is it so obvious then that there wouldn't be Musafin? Maybe not, because maybe the Musafin is going on the anniversary day, or the objective Kedushas Hayom part of it, with the exception of the Ayel. There's just a lot of interesting questions, I'm trying to point out, that you raise here. Anyway, so that's one point of the Gra, the Ayel. The other one is what I mentioned before. Hashem Yushev Ma'od Ma'ashamru Chazal V'huva V'rashi V'ramban Kol HaParsha Ne'emar Al Seder Chutz MiPasuk Zeh L'chor Tamua Shoyim Mikros K'suvim B'Seder Avoda Shalo Al HaSeder Aval L'fi HaNizkar L'El Nicha Ki Kol HaParsha Zu Ne'emar La'aron Af B'Kol HaShana Ki Achrech Shukrachnu L'omid HaPasuk Shalo Al HaSeder Rak Machos D'Gmiri Hate Tvilos Ve'asara Kiddusha L'Kohen Galam Yom HaKippurim V'ika Seder HaKasas L'Mishkachas El HaGimel K'moshu Kasas B'Gemara Zed Dafka B'Yom HaKippurim By Halacha L'Moshu M'Sinai D'Tzarech Hate Tvilos V'Yud Kiddushin Al V'Shar Yimos HaShana It would be Gimel and Vav. Yeah. This is the Gra. And the In the Chai Adam, I believe he adds something to it. He adds a couple of rayas that don't appear here. Maybe I'll get a chance to speak about them later. Let me contrast it first. Well, let me say this first. Now, of course, if you say that, if you take the Gra's perspective, again, it raises all sorts of interesting questions, including the one I just mentioned. You know, what about the Musafim? You know, what about Kapara? Korban Sipur? All of those questions. Are the Hay and the Yud, as opposed to the Gimel and the Vav, connected more with the objective Chiyuv and the Kedushas Hayom and the anniversary part? Like, why would you, once you're splitting up the Avoda into different, you know, aspects, right, it's not such a simple matter. Not such a simple matter. Just to contrast it a little bit, though, but the thing that, of course, emerges the most from this medrash, and especially from the Gra, is the idea that Aaron has a special yichus, right, in all of this. Let's contrast this a little bit with a bit of a different perspective, and that is also well known. That is of Vermeer Simcha, the Meshech Chachma. He was aware of this Gra, at least he makes reference to it, but maybe he thinks this is consistent with the Gra, maybe it is. Not consistent with the way I understand the Gra. He has a bit of a different take on the whole thing. The Meshech Chachma, also seizing on this Medrash, says, B'Medrash, Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe, B'kol Shal Shirotz of the Kanes Yikanes, Rak Shikanes B'Seder Hazeh. Then he says, Hinei B'Sefer Gviya HaKesef, I don't know what that is, Huva B'Shem Agra, the Perusha Pashut, Arana Yachal Yikanes, Tamid B'Seder Hazeh, Rak Banav Lo Yerashayim, Rak B'Yom HaKippur. Oh. But the Meshech Chachma's take on this is that it has nothing to do with the personality of Aaron HaKohen. It has to do with the tkufa of Hashra Sashkina in the Midbar. That's why I don't think it's correct in the Gra at all, because the Gra's emphasis is that it's a din in Aaron, right? As reflected by the emphasis on Aaron personally in the Parsha. But the Meshech Chachma's take is very interesting. He says, it's based on the Sfarno. Sfarno says in the end of Parshas Emor, "Vinizgalan lanu tamo al pi mashkaz v'Sfarno Parshas Emor, v'sof Emor." Why is it that in Ketores, in the Parsha of the Ketores, and the Parsha of Atava Saneros, right? Why is it that the Torah always mentions Aaron? Right? Aaron's supposed to be the Neros, Aaron's supposed to be the Torah. The truth is that the mitzvah of Neros in the Mikdash and the Haktoras Haktores on the in the Heichal, that's in the Mizbecha Azav every day, that doesn't require the Kohen Gadol. And I mentioned earlier that the Kohen Gadol has really very meager required functions in the Mikdash, aside from Yom Kippur. Basically, it's the Minchas Chavitin, you know, and very little. Again, if he wants to be Makriv, he can. And if he's Makriv, he's an Otel Chelek Barosh. We'll talk about it. Right? But not so much beyond that. So why is it that the Torah, when it talks about the Ketores and the Neros, why does it mention that this is a mitzvah for Aaron? Oh. It says the Sfarno, "Mipnei shebaoson arbaim shana hayahanan shora ala mishkan yoma v'layla." Fascinating. "Kamosho kasav ki anan Hashem ala mishkan yomam v'lachein v'avodah shebeheichal shesham hayahanan Hashem hayadino Osan arbaim shana kimo biyom kippurim shakasav ki be'anan era'e ala kaporas." I mentioned before that the first thing that the Torah really says about the avoda, you know, is b'chaleis, you can't go b'chaleis ala kodesh ki be'anan era'e ala kaporas, which in theory you could understand narrowly as being just a you know, reference to achrei mos shnei b'nei Aaron. But I think more likely is a fundamental principle in the avoda, namely a part of the goal of the avoda, ki banan erel kaporis, is a shiur in the intense level of ashras hashchina. Okay. Anyways, the Sfarno basically says that the reason the Torah associates or requires Aaron for the Neros and for the Ketores is because during this 40-year period, there was a daily presence of Ashras HaShechina that was Yom Kippur-esque. Okay, it's hard to know how this works exactly, because it wasn't Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, they were Nichas Lefnai V'Lefnim, they, you know, etc. So, but even the Heichal itself had such a thick, I don't mean physically, I mean spiritually, robust presence of Ashras HaShechina. And as such, it was like Yom Kippur. Shekasavo ki be'anan erel kapores. Again, he too is saying be'anan erel kapores as being a central theme. V'lachein kolos on arbaim yom arbaim shana hayla reshusli kanes b'seder hazeh. This is now the Neshach Chachma speaking. Kemo koin gadol b'yom Kippur. That the reason, that the explanation of the Medrash is that the intense presence of the Shechina during the years of the Midbar, right, allowed, right, an expansion. You can always kind of invoke or create a Yom Kippur environment during this period of the year. V'lachein kasub b'sof ha'parsha v'hoysa zos lachem l'chukas olam achas bashana sheledoro surak v'yom ha'kippurim she'az yisrael kemalachei ashare surim l'kapara v'lishchinas ha'kavod al ha'kapara be'anan v'im kein. But according to this view, as he readily admits, afelazar achrei moso hayla reshuschein. So that's quite interesting. I mean, according to this perspective, the Medrash has nothing to do with Aaron. It has to do with the environment, you know, in the kedusha, intense kedusha environment of the Midbar. So once Aaron was no longer alive, then it was Elazar. It wouldn't have been Aaron if there hadn't been this environment, and it doesn't need Aaron when there is this environment. That's what doesn't seem correct to me in the conversation as recorded by the Medrash, and even more so in the extra diuk of the Gra, you know, about Aaron. Unless I'd say, well, Aaron is just symptomatic of the Tkufa because he was, you know, during most of that period. Again, there are ways to be miyashi, but it just doesn't sound that way to me. Anyways, And then he goes on to say, "Vatam nirli shebechol avodas hayom k'siv v'chiper es hamigdash hakodesh al hakonim v'al hakahol." This is also part of his explanation of this tekufa. "Ulefizek kozman sheyisrael b'midbar hareim hayu asurim b'basar taiva." There's a little bit of a hakdama, I guess, to Masachet Chulin, you know. "V'hayu ochlin basar kodesh tadir." I just think these are little nuggets. Meaning, he's suggesting that one of the reasons why there would be, you know, a reason, one of the reasons there would be a motivation to have Knisa Lefnai V'Lefnim was because all of Klal Yisrael at this period were very intensively connected with Achilas Kadshim, because they weren't eating any Basar Taiva. And therefore, the factor of Tumas Mikdash VeKadashav was particularly prominent. And that's a big part, and this is an important point, this is an important Ha'ara, you know, and it's a puzzling thing, not really. We'll say it's a striking and a challenge thing to understand. But if you look even at the psukim and the dinim of Avodas Yom Kippurim, a lot of it is focused on Tumas Mikdash V'Kadasha. True about Rosh Chodesh as well. But Tumas Mikdash V'Kadasha plays an outsized role, certainly to what we would have expected, in Avodas Yom Kippur. So Nesha Chachma says, both the more intense environment, there's two things. The more intense environment of Hashras Hashchina, A. And B, the greater urgency to address in a more constant and consistent basis, Tumas Mikdash V'Kadashav, all of this explains this Medrash. Okay. But if you ask me, it doesn't sound that that's what the Medrash is saying. I don't think that's what the Gra is saying. It sounds like this is a special din in Aharon HaKohen. Let me just mention one other expression of this. Of course, once you say what the Gra does say, so it raises the possibility of solving at least the other point in the Medrash. And again, I think that some of the Achronim suggest this, although I can't tell you who. Just, I always thought it, and then I saw some other people mention it at some point. And that is, is it possible that, in addition to the Gimel and the Vav and the Hey and the Yud, in addition to the Ayel, you know, being included, but the Musafin being excluded, right? Is it possible that there were also changes with regard to, you know, the Begadim? Is it possible that Big Day Zav, you know, was ever worn Lifnai V'Lifnim? Is that too part of the say there? Or not? And here I think there are two considerations, you know, that one can mention, and I think there are mentioned by the Achronim who discuss this. Number one, the Big Day Laban versus Big Day Zahav, in terms of Knisa Lefnai V'Lefnim, according to the Gemara, right, in Rosh Hashanah, is connected to Chav Zayin. I have a Rosh Hashanah expert here. Enkategar Nasa Senegar. Right, because the Big Day Zahav, you know, are in that respect reminiscent of the Chet of the Egel Azav. So the suggestion is sometimes made that, you know, that would be true maybe on Yom Kippur, but would that also be true on Aharon HaKohen's Knisa Lefnim? You know, what's the difference? What?
Shofar is not Yom Kippur, but more applies to Shofar.
Shofar is not Yom Kippur. Right, true. That is true. That's true. Although we say that the kol shofar is because it's nichnas lefnayim lefnim. It's also kind of a okay. I hear that. So I think the point is as follows, though. In big day kahuna, I think the point would be: is there actually? It goes to the question I mentioned before. At least I'm raising this. I don't know what other people say about it, and that is: is the knisa lefnayim lefnim of? And this would. That's kind of what I was just answering. I'll explain. The knisa lefnai v'lefnim of Aaron HaKohen, is that related to Selicha, Mechila, and Kapar? Right? Or not? Again, it sounds certainly like there was a Korban Tzibur aspect of it. Doesn't necessarily mean that the motivation was, or primarily, it was about Kapara. If it wasn't about Kapara, then it's possible that there's no, you know, Senegar, Kategar, and that in contrast to, again, Rosh Hashanah, you know, which certainly is connected to Kapara, you know, Knisa Lefnayim Lefnim for the sake of Tshuva. So that's one point. The second point, which is weaker, given Asher's question, but still something to think about in terms of the paradigm of the Begadim, because let's remember that the Kategar Sanegar application to Bigdei Zahav in a way is more mechudash, let's say another answer to Asher's question, than the shofar. In that, there's a mitzvah of tkiyah shofar, correct? And the question is, like, you know, what's the chefza shel shofar going to be? But there's no, you know, counter pressure, you know, for it to be Karen Shalpara. Right? And therefore it's much easier, you don't require much to say in Kategar Nazar Senegar. The Big Day Zahav are, you know, the Chavod or the Sifares, they're the height of Big Day Kahuna for the Kohen Gadol. You know, and according to what I was kind of suggesting earlier, and will continue to suggest, and that is that the Kohen Gadol's role on Yom Kippur is not an additional or coincidental, but is a good chunk of his, you know, raison d'etre, that the, I believe in both directions, you know, the Yom Kippur makes the Kohen Gadol and Kohen Gadol makes Yom Kippur, and both of the things are true. So the idea that the Big Day Zahav, which is the ideal begadim of the Kohen Gadol, are somehow, you know, in inappropriate when he's nichnas lefnai v'lefnim, you know, to do what he was born to do, what the institution was born to do, is striking, right? On the other hand, you know, in part, especially the date of Yom Kippur, you know, is the return from Luchos Shniyos, you know, and is directly connected, not just with, it's not Kapara versus one of the, you know, historic, you know, Chatoim of Klal Yisrael. It's even more specifically, in terms of the anniversary part of it, you know, connected to that. But once you take it away from that anniversary day, never mind if maybe you're taking it away from Selicha, Mechila, and Kapara, or at least as a full Mechayev, so then there becomes the possibility of Big Day Zah. Maybe, not sure. There may be another element, at least in the discussions of some of these questions, there might be another element, and that is that the there's a view in Chazal that the reason that the Big Day Zahav are not worn lefnai v'lefnim is for a different reason. And that is that the din is v'nicham sham melamed shetu'unim geniza. Right? You're supposed to abandon, bury, you can't, you know, reuse the Big Day Lava. That's a very fascinating halakha. Talk about that in a minute. So one view in Chazal is because of that, Chasa Torah al Mamonon Shel Yisrael. Every year they're gonna bury and get rid of the Big Day Zav, right? So therefore, Chasa Torah al Mamonon Shel. The truth is, I'll tell you the truth. And that is that, you know, of course, these are two views in Chazal, and therefore they both have, you know, importance and significance. I suspect, you know, that, you know, in addition to these two views, or maybe these are, you know, counter-pressure views. In other words, These are two good reasons, or two reasons, why the traditional garb of the Kohen Gadol, I'm just saying it my way now, and especially if this is the day of the Kohen Gadol, this is what the Kohen Gadol is born to do as an institution, so like how could he not be wearing his magnificent, you know, wardrobe, right? And therefore we need, you know, to explain this and to justify it, and, you know, these are two explanations. Both of which, by the way, highlight, in light of this, some very important idea, namely the need to be, you know, totally consistent, not to have a shemetz, you know, of the Egel HaZahav, you know, a motif. You know, again, obviously, to Unim Geniza, which I'll get to in a second, is something that's very important. You know, otherwise, like, so don't do Tuna Unim Geniza. The Baruch Shalom can decide. You know, he decided the protocol. So to Unim Geniza is a good enough reason to abandon Big Day Zav, when you look at it that way. But the reason I want to say this is to add my third point, which is, I think that we shouldn't be looking at Big Day Lavan, but we need to see if this is true based on the sugyas, but just thinking aloud, I don't think we should be looking at Big Day Lavan only as the non-Big Day Zav. In other words, we should be doing Big Day Zav, but Nebach in Kategar, Nebach v'inicham sham. So, you know, we'll have to keep it, you know, simple and use Big Day Lavan. I think there's a lot of evidence that the Big Day Lavan is the appropriate garb for Knisa Lefnayim Lefnim. Or maybe in the context of Kapara, or the day of Yom Kippur, or maybe just in general for Knesset Lefnayim Lefnim. I don't particularly like the idea that it's just the default, you know, non-Big Day Zav. Okay. And I believe also that that has to do with V'Yinicham Sham. I'll explain what I mean by that. So what this idea of V'Yinicham Sham, B'Lamed Shetu'unim Geniza, that you can't reuse, why can't you reuse the Begadim? Like what's wrong with that? It seems very wasteful, you know, to be throwing out begadim, you know, when they're worn once. Baltashkes. Okay, I'm not so worried about the suffix baltashkes per se, but the idea seems to be, oh, and this might explain if we're not requiring it in the case of Aaron HaKohen. Maybe the idea is that every Yom Kippur is singular. And again, this is something that needs to be followed up. And the Geniza, you know, V'Yinicham Sham, is a reflection. It's not like, oh, there's a, you know, there's a Chiyuv Zman, there's a Zman. Every year, you know, Achas Bashana, there'll be Yom Kippur. I mean, there is. There is. I mean, Yom Kippur is the kind of a day that relates to people's and individual and Klal Yisrael as a unit's, you know, core, you know, religious commitment and identity. Right? It's just, you know, it's a day of Lifnei Hashem Elokeichem, where the Yom itself is powerful. According to Rebbe, you know, Yom Kippur itself is mechaper. And again, it's Achas Bashana. It isn't Achas Bashana, you know, there is one every year. It's the day, I've said this many times, with many different applications, it's the most unique day of the year, and it's also the most necessary and relevant day of the year. The whole year, in a way, revolves around Yom Kippur. In that sense, it's Shabbos, Shabbos. So the weeks, you know, weekdays follow Shabbos before and after, and Shabbos, Shabboson, Yom Kippur is the linchpin day of the year, Achas Bashana. Three times Torah calls it Achas Bashana. But it doesn't mean every year there's Yom Kippur, one day a year. It means that every year depends on that one day. And therefore, Melamed Shetu'unim Geniza. Every Yom Kippur is different than every other Yom Kippur. Because every Yom Kippur belongs only to the particular year, you know, for which it's Kedushas Hayom is Mechaper. And because it's bound up with the trials and tribulations, the advances, you know, and the regressions, you know, of that person, that family, that tzibur of Klal Yisrael for that particular year, you know, given indeed whatever it is that they encountered. So in that sense, Melamed Shutunim Geniza. Interesting, when it comes to Shabbos, as opposed to Shabbos Shabbason, there is a kind of a parallel. The Gemara in Kol Gadol, right, you know, quotes two different psukim, you know, about Shabbos. It's hard to know which one refers to which, frankly, but like, you know, every Shabbos is you know, part of the fraternity of Shabboses, or not. Sound like two different dinim in Sugya and Klal Gadol, right? Dar Nafka Minas. Let's say you're, let's say you forget, you know, the day of the week, and you mess up a bunch of Shabboses. Actually, we talked about it earlier. Those who are here in the shiur this year, right? In the very beginning of the year, we talked about, you know, Shabbosos Kegufin Bechlokin. We were talking about Avos and Toldos a little bit. And the Rambam's very unique shita about that, right? Even Me'ena Malacha, a different Me'ena Malacha. I think I mentioned this idea then. I mean, how different are, you know, is one Shabbos from another Shabbos? Or like technical napkamina, you know, when it comes to Achana, can you be Mechen from one Shabbos? You want to fold your Shabbos Talis as opposed to your, you know, everyday Talis. So you're folding it for the next day, for Sunday, or Tuesday, or whatever it is, right? But let's say you have a Shabbos talis, so you're folding it for next Shabbos. Let's say you have a Yom Kippur talis, so you're folding it for next. Some people do, right? Probably the rabbis of the shul. I don't know. Is that true? Do they give you a? No.
I'll have to bring it to my next contract.
Absolutely. The Rolls Royce and that white, you know, all white.
Oh, an all white talis.
The all white talis. Don't have it. Right, so you can only the truth is you can always wear it. People actually do wear it on Rosh Hashanah too. That might be a bit of a problem because I guess the next Rosh Hashanah comes before Yom Kippur. Yeah, so also they didn't
my kittel.
They got your kittel?
No, but oh. I need new ones.
Ah, I hear that. Okay, it's good you let that slip. That's it. Okay, so this is an interesting question about, you know, one yom, even when what's this is the big day lavan, you'll wear them next Yom Kippur, right? Not that there isn't a next Yom Kippur, we hope that there will be, but the point is that it's a different experience. So when you think about it, and what about Aaron HaKohen's experience lifnai b'lifnim? So is it every different knisa l'makom lifnai b'lifnim? Or is it the anniversary of the Kedushas Hayom? I mean, if you do the protocol of Aaron HaKohen, is that day mechaper? Is there a Tzumo Shel Yom mechaper for that day? With no musafim, according to the Gra? The others might think that there are musafim. But you hear the questions. Okay. So these are some interesting questions to think about. Again, a slightly different perspective. I just happened to pick up this morning because I was curious, because he usually talks about these kind of gras, but he didn't talk about the gra, but he said something interesting. The Sefer Klichem Dala Torah always has fascinating things from Mayor Don Plotsky. And I went to Yeshivat Haaretzion, so Rav Lichtenstein once mentioned the Klichem Dala, and I asked him about it, and he said, oh, that's a Sefer. That's just kind of an enjoyable safer. Everybody should pick up. So let's pass on the information. You know, it's like, you know, one of the, you know, like the Rabbi Yosef Engel type. Anyways, so I thought he was going to quote this grog because he often quotes these kind of grogs in Kol Eliyahu, but he doesn't. But he does quote the Medrash. So I wasn't disappointed about that. And he says something very fascinating. He says, the Gemara says in Yoman, Daf Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph, that you need Mala Oshon as part of the Ketores of Yom Kippur. You know, because of the Pasuk, that, you know, there's Milui Anon, you know, Ala Ketores. So the Gemara there, Nun Gimel, Amud Aleph, says if you don't put it's an ingredient, you know, it's an herb of some sort, Mala Oshon, that, like, makes the, you know, it intensifies the smokiness, is that the right word? The smoke? The thickness of the incense? No? Joey? No? What?
Fogginess?
The?
Fogginess.
Fogginess? Oh, fogginess. Maybe. Maybe. Okay. So the Mala Ashan is ma'akev, and without it, you're chayv misa. Okay. So the Gemara says, so if you walk in, the Gemara says, well, what do you need to tell us that you're chayv misa if you don't, if you're makriv of the, you know, the ketores, you know, b'li mala ashan, this is a Gemara, nun gimel lamed aleph, either way you're going to be chayv misa, because when you walked into the lifnai b'lifnim, right, it's b'arei kanis, because the b'choles yavo lakodesh, you have to do it properly. At minimum, it's not a proper way to do the ketores. It's ma'akev. Once it's ma'akev, then walking in is a b'arei kanis, and a b'arei kanis should be is chayv misa in its own right. So the Gemara gives an answer. The Gemara says, oh, you walked in with two ketoreses, one with malashon, one without malashon. So there's no b'arei kanis, but if you're makriv it, then it's mechayev you misa. So the Klichemda says, oh, I saw this kasha. He said, I always thought of this kasha. And then I saw it in some other sefer. I forget the name of the sefer that he mentions. And this is the question. He says, well, why didn't the Gemara give an easier answer? Because Rebbe was of the opinion that Yom Kippur is mecha, Yitzuma Shuyom is mechaper, even without tshuva. But it's only mechaper for chatoim that aren't Yom Kippur chatai. Like if you mess up, you do a Yom Kippur transgression, right? You're not potter for that, right? So the point is this. The Gemara should have said, well, for the Bia Rekondis, you're not going to be chayv misa for that because Yitzum Bar Shoyom is mechaper. Again, I don't know if this is a question I would have asked, but, you know, it's an interesting question. I'm more interested in the assumption of the answer than I am in the question. He says, the Bia Rekondis is going to be niskaper, like sofayom for Yitzuma Shoyom. You have to get to the end of the day, right? That's another problem. But in the end of the hakrava or the haktara with the malashan, right? That's not going to be covered by Yitzuma Shoyom mechaper of Yom Kippur, right? Because that's a Yom Kippur din. So I think what he answers, again, I have to check it out just again. I was just looking at it very quickly. So he says, you know what? Maybe the other, then he gets, tells what the fellow who we found also asked his question. He gives some other answer. And then he attacks that for a couple of pages. I didn't have the time or the ability to look at it. It was irrelevant to us. I thought I could see. But then he said, I'll tell you what my answer is. My answer is based on this medrash. The medrash that says that Aaron HaKohen, in theory, could be nichnas lefnai v'lefnim all year round, and he could bring in the ketores and be makriv it and makdir it. So he said, if that's the case, then even though, you know, we're not Aaron HaKohen, right? You see that some of the dinim of Yom Kippur aren't necessarily per se Yom Kippur dinim. So maybe we would expand Rebbe's Yitzuma Shoyom Mechaper even to certain Yom Kippur halachos. If those were Yom Kippur halachos, they aren't really particularly limited to Yom Kippur, but they have the ability, if you had Aaron HaKohen, right, to apply in other ways. Okay, so again, the Shaklev Taya per se doesn't disturb me so much, but what I wanted to say was, how are Achronim looking at this medrash? That's really what I'm trying to say. And there's a range, meaning Aaron HaKohen could create Yom Kippur whenever he wanted. It isn't Yom Kippur, it's a special din in Aaron HaKohen. Is it a special din in the Gabra Aaron HaKohen? Or Lu Yitzurya, or just that it's a limitation on every other Kohen Gadol, that he can't do this, but it's really Shayach. As an avoda, separate from Yom Kippur, some of it. The answer is a range of views, whether it's in terms of what begadim do you wear and why, what about the musafim, what about the ayil, how many tefillos, how many kiddushin, right? Is it the tkufa of Aaron that includes Eliezer and for other reasons? So there's a whole range of perspectives on how to understand this very mechudash medrash. But my time's almost up, so let me go back to 5 points. So if you ask me, clearly the simple pshat of the medrash, and certainly the Gra's expansion of it, is that this is a special din in Aaron HaKohen. But in light of the Rav's ha'ara about the piyut, and again, emphasizing even further the Graz Ha'ara about the emphasis on the psukim of Aaron, and then adding to it my additional Ha'ara, which is, it's also interesting that the Aaron emphasis is on certain things and not on other things, but that's more food for thought. Maybe the real idea here is that there aren't two completely different dinim, but that the din of Kohen Gadol begins with Aaron HaKohen. And certainly Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, maybe Kohen Gadol in general, something else to look at. And therefore, the idea is that it's Bezos Yavo Aaron al HaKodesh, right? Mostly it's Aaron, Aaron, Aaron. Right? And then at the end of the Parsha, it's, of course, when there's no longer, when mortality, you know, the reality of mortality, you know, makes its presence felt, so then it's going to be Tachas Aaron HaKohen. The question at that point is, you know, we don't have the real Aaron, but you have a substitute Aaron, or it's no longer Aaron, but it's Kohen Gadol, right? What happens then? So then the idea, maybe that's exactly what the Medrash is saying, meaning, Bezos Yavo Aaron El HaKohen. It doesn't have to be a Yom Kippur with this protocol. And once there's no longer any Aaron, right, because it's the second level, but this is really a din that Kohen Gadol generally, or at least Kohen Gadol B'Yom Kippur more specifically, or at least many aspects of it, right, are B'toras Tachas Aaron HaKohen. So with this, I just wanted to add two other Aros. One I think is that this might be part of the Shaklutari, the Gemara, right here in the beginning of the Sakta. And the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph, which I think I gave you to look at, has the possibility that the Gemara talks about Prisha. And I began by saying that the Mishnah, you know, is and the Gemara are so concerned, you know, for these, you know, very unlikely scenarios. Right? And again, I agree, I don't want to overstate. It could just be that we can't take any chances, the stakes are too high, it's Achas Bashana, right? It's Yitzumo Shoyon Mechaper and all these things. So, you know, if you have to build in, what do they say, what do they call it, Joey? When you build in backups, what do they call it? Like there's redundancies, yeah, asher, redundancies. Is it such an expression? Yaakov's barely nodding. There is, right? You built in redundancies. Like if you have, again, if you're the Israeli, what is it, Mi Breshit, the one that failed, they said there weren't enough redundancies. That's why they could send it, because it was cheap enough, they could afford to, so they only built in like two or three backups. Usually, I guess NASA builds in 20 backups. if this fails and that fails and the next thing fails and the one after that fails, then we still have four more that'll keep us going. And even then, crazy things happen, right? So we're just building in redundancies because, you know, the stakes are very, very high, right? But it's also possible that one of the reasons we don't mind building, our level of panic goes beyond rationality in a way, right? Because the stakes are high, but also because our halachic instinct is that this is also bound up with the Kohen Gadol. This is what the Kohen Gadol is for and what the day needs. And it's a kiyum in the Kohen Gadol, so it isn't even exaggerated. So one of these things, as we said, is the phenomenon of the Prisha. Prisha Shivas Yam. So the Gemara has a Hava Mina. Says the Gemara, "May be Omer." This is on Dalet Amud Aleph. "V'chi tevi Yom HaKippurim kama hu deboi Prisha kida ashkechan v'miluim avav Yom HaKippurim di alma lo inami Kohen Gadol kama hu deboi Prisha avav Kohen Gadol di alma lo." Okay, these are Hava Minas. Tashma kasher asa. You always need Prisha. But the Gemara Hava Mina, that maybe only the first Yom Kippur needed it, right? The groundbreaking, you know, paradigmatic Yom Kippur needs a Prisha, or maybe the groundbreaking paradigmatic Kohen Gadol. So again, the first, the one who initiates, because it's about chinuch, initiation, starting it off. And again, of course, the comparison in general, again, I don't think we're going to be able to discuss this, but I'm throwing out some ideas along the way for all the things that we can't discuss. All these sugyas speak a lot about the relationship, I'll get to it in a second in the Ravid, between the Miluim and Yom Kippur. So they share a lot of things in common, obviously, including the role of the Kohen Gadol. But I think there are two other areas where we find overlap. One is what I said before, that is a melamed shetu'un in Geniza. The inimitability of every Yom Kippur. Every Yom Kippur is like a miluim in that respect. Right? It's an exception. It's a standalone, you know, never to be experienced again, you know, event. But also both of them are defining in terms of the Kohen Gadol. Anyways, so the Gemara says maybe the first Yom Kippur, like the miluim, or maybe the first Kohen Gadol. And Rashi says, we'll discuss other Pshatim, that it doesn't mean the first experience of the Kohen Gadol. It means the first Kohen Gadol. Aaron Levado, Kol Yomav. Aval Doris Aboim, Lo Tinog, Shalonemar, Ela Aaron. That may not be the Maskana, but it's a fascinating Havam, you know, why only Aaron? And is it only because he was the first, but even after the first year? Or is it because, you know, there are two dinim, or because it's Aaron? In which case, it continues because it's Aaron too. Similarly, and we'll just conclude for today, if you look at Hilchos Kli HaMikdash, what did I tell you to look at? What is it? Talad Yigimel, yeah. So here, there's a famous debate between the Rambam and the Ravid. Again, it's noveya from these Gemaras, especially the connection between Yom Kippur and three connections: Yom Kippur, the Miluim, and Paraduma. Very fascinating Shaka Vataryas. So the question is, when you appoint a new Kohen Gadol, is there a lechatchila that he should not be functioning, right, for the first 7 days? Whether it's Aydei Shemen HaMishcha or Ribui Begadim, right, that lechatchila, b'diavet, if he's Oved Avodasos Kayames, the question is lechatchila. So the Rambam quotes this halacha, Ketzad, Marbino Sobe Begadim, right, Lovesh Ches Begadim, Poshtan, Chozer V'Lovshan, Lamachar Zayin Yamim, Yomachar Yom, Shinamar Shivas Yamim Yil B'Shem HaKohen Tachta Mibana. K'Shem Sheribu Begadim Shiva, Kach Meshicha B'Shem HaMishcha, Shiva Yomachar Yom. Bim Avad Kodim Shisra Bibgadim Kol Shiva or Kodim Shimshach Kol Shiva, meaning if he jumps the gun, Avodasam Kshem. Hovidas Rabba O Nimshach Pamachas Nasa Kon Gadol Choldam. Says the Ravid. Omer Ram Nirbidvar of Yamim Sharibu Vamashicha Bahen. Lohaya Oved. Right? That in terms of the Lechatchila, you shouldn't do the Avoda during the 7 days. The Ein Zeh Min HaChachma. Ela Kesha Amru, Gemar Yoma, Hei Amar Aleph, Nisraba Shiva V'Nimshach Shiva, Debinan Shiva Lechatchila, Hanim Ila Avodas Yom HaKippurim. Aval Avodas Osan Hayamim. Right, B'chol Yom, Ove B'Shmona B'Gadim. Says the Ravid, there's no lechatchila that a Kohen Gadol shouldn't be oved the first 7 days. It's just a din in Yom Kippur. Oh. So what is the yichus of Yom Kippur here? So certainly, again, you could say all sorts of things. One of the things you could say is kind of what I said before, and that is, well, instead of looking at Yom Kippur as simply the, you know, the most intense like experience or required performance of the Kohen Gadol, right? Maybe it's much more than that. Maybe it's what what defines him in a way. Like he's appointed Hanukkah time, already he's omed to the avoda of Yom Kippur in some respect. I'm not saying only, but at least that's kind of the main job description, not just the main thing that he'll be doing, conceptually. Right? So, having said that, the avoda of Yom Kippur for any Kohen Gadol, takes on special status. But I mentioned before that the Rav, like the piyut of, Tachas Aharon HaKohen, so he quoted this Ravid as a raya. Again, I don't think it's a raya because I think there are other places to draw the line, but I think it's certainly a good possibility. He was saying that really the din of Shiva Yamim Lechatchila, maybe it's not a din of Kohen Gadol at all. That's a din in Tachas Aharon HaKohen. And therefore, it applied to the Miluim, and it applies L'Dori Doros to Yom Kippur, because both of those are dinim in Aharon HaKohen. Okay, so I think if there are more evidence, and in general this idea that the Kohen Gadol is defined by Yom Kippur, and that Yom Kippur is defined by the Kohen Gadol, that certainly there's a lot more evidence for, and that will continue to examine in some other contexts going forward. Okay, so we'll stop here. So Thursday at 1, that people can make Thursday 1? Again, if we can go a little longer, we will. It just depends. I don't know why
things are so busy right now. They should be. But we'll do that.
Yeah.
I think we have enough for
Thursday.
Are people rest God's been on this one?